Speaking of the Cranston, actually, the Godzilla, have you guys seen that?
I really like Godzilla.
I think it looks cool.
It looks,
you never know.
Aaron.
Taylor Johnson.
I don't know. I'm still not sold on him yet.
I think he's good.
I've liked him in a few things.
I think my biggest problem with the Godzilla trailer was the hole in the buildings. Like that shot that sort of pans across this hole and there's like a hole.
Yeah.
Reminded me so much of the Roland Emmerich Godzilla that I've tried to forget.
Is that the shitty one
from the '80s. Yeah. Or from the '90s rather. Yeah. And
the
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's predominantly in New York and has no mention of Japan whatsoever.
I think this one will get away from that. Well, I hope so.
Apparently there's
you know what though actually? I only realized recently that Godzilla film had like the best soundtrack ever because it had like the shitty one. It's a terrible film, but it had like a Foo Fighters song, it had a Benfold 5 song, it had like loads of great alternative rock 90s bands on it, and then it just turned out the film itself was just
such a terrible,
but
so bad.
Yeah,
it's just it like goes
to the guy who specializes in worms.
It's yeah, it's just such a bad film on every level. Like it's just so bad. I mean, I remember.
Didn't know
you,
New York was that way.
You chaps are probably too young to remember, but I'm at the time like the big sort of monster movie was like Jurassic Park. Everybody was talking about what they'd done and how amazing it was, and then God, they were like, oh, they're gonna do God. They were all coming out. Like even Peter Jackson was supposed to do King Kong back then. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen. They eventually said, oh, we don't want to go up against Godzilla, so it's off. So we did Lord of the Rings instead. And then...
Good choice, to be fair.
Yeah.
And then, King Kong was... Well, not as good as Lord of the Rings. I liked it, but...
I love King Kong. Anyway, when the trailer started appearing, like the teasery ones were all about how the monster in Godzilla was going to be so much bigger and better than the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. Like the first one that you saw... What wasn't
but
even,
it is huge, it just like walks through buildings.
Wasn't even a piece of the film, but the first teaser trailer was like loads of people in the like natural history museum looking at a T-Rex skeleton, and the Godzilla foot comes in and like squashes it, and the whole thing is like the foot of Godzilla is the same size as the T-Rex.
Yeah.
And then they started doing that, it's like,
and
oh, you know, fucking the dinosaurs, and then you saw the movie and all the set pieces in it were nicked out of Jurassic Park, every single one.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scene where they're in the car driving away from Godzilla and he like roars in the rearview mirror, like is shot for shot out of Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
The scene when they're trapped in Madison Square Garden with all the little Godzillas is the scene with the velociraptors
in the kitchen.
Like it was just so, I was sitting there going Jesus, did you think nobody saw Jurassic Park? Like, yeah, and your
characters
and your characters are crap. Like, you know, you have
the worm guy.
And
the news reporter.
The news. You have the news guy, who is the voice of Kent Brockman from The Simpsons, right? Who sounds exactly like Kent Brockman saying these ridiculous things that are actually happening. There's a dinosaur in this. And you think, oh, I'm watching The Simpsons, and Kent Brockman has lost his mind. Like, yeah.
And then Hank Azaria is the film guy.
Yeah, it was just so. So
poor.
So I have shock memories of that, but I'll see it still. But
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I don't know.
I think it'll be good.
Put it this way, you can't get any lower than that.
No,
really,
yeah. It can't be any
unless
worse.
It like it's like a snuff film or something.
Unless
like if they did something like that.
Unless it's like 2000, what was that other shitty film that Roland Emmerich made? Unless it's like 2012 or.
Oh my god!
Or John
Cusack.
We
watched that geography class
because it was
year.
The year
because
2012. I think.
No, it wasn't. 2011.
It was 2011, and it was like
to do with global warming.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we said, and we watched it, and not only does it have nothing to do with global warming, it's a total heap.
Have you not seen the Dara O'Brien thing where he talks about how the way they justify the destruction of the world is the neutrinos are or dancing or whatever at the beginning? There's that like lab thing. There's that lab. Yeah, at the beginning.
I can't even remember it was so shit. I only remember it got to the end and it was so ridiculous that it was like, oh yes, there is a secret government program that will take all the geniuses to space. It's like that Halloween episode of The Simpsons where all the geniuses go on one plane and Polly Shore and all are on the other one going straight to the sun. It's like, what's the fucking point? It's like, so stupid.
And yet Woody Harrelson get a place. That's, you know, like, come on.
There you go.
You should check out the Darrow Breen bit because he actually brings the actor who plays the role of the doctor who says, like, the neutrinos are misbehaving or whatever at the beginning is Jimmy Mystery. And he brings him out on stage and like they reenact the scene and everything. And Darrow Breen goes, you know what would have been better is if he said the Latinos are misbehaving. And he pulls off his jacket and he's wearing like Flamenco Danko's shirt and he pulls out the maracas and they start doing the stance. Because he's like, at the end of the film when everyone gets saved, everyone left and he was just sitting there going, what about the neutrinos? Like, you didn't say, you know, first of all, neutrinos don't do that, and second of all,
to be fair, I would have been happier if they had said the Metaclorians were dancing out or whatever the fuck, because that would have even just made more sense than the neutrinos.
Would it? Did the Metaclorians make sense?
His Metaclorian count is off the charts.
I don't know why I'm telling you as I talk into this weird Gillette Lady Shave thing.
It is just like a top of a razor.
It's a top of a razor, yeah.
That was Liam. We'll let him have it.
Liam, yeah.
Yeah, that was Phantom Menace was fun, wasn't
it?
I think that is the only way to describe those three films. It was fun times for cinema, wasn't it? It was like,
I actually rewatched Phantom Menace like about 2 or 3 months ago.
Because I've seen Clone Wars a few times, but Phantom Menace is that one that I haven't rewatched.
You don't
it's
really
the
go
most
back.
Like unpretentiously stupid of the three. If you know what I mean.
And the whole underwater goo.
Because Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones, like, They really try and...
Yeah. You know,
Phantom Menace is a little bit more...
Phantom Menace still has the puppet Yoda, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Revenge so there's a little bit more of like...
And
he's
looking bad as well, because his eyes are, like, twice the size of
And he's a real dick in the film as well. He's a real dick.
Yoda's a dick.
Yeah. He's, like, it just in that one. I mean, they don't count, so... He's a dick.
I still have a kind of a special place for Revenge of the Sith, I think, because I like it.
I like, yeah.
The fact that
I was like 12, 10, like 10. Yeah, well, I was.
So I have no excuse.
Like, they were just like kids' films. It's the same thing with Dane, like the Dying of the Night. When you're like 12, seeing a car flip upside down and drive really fast and shoot something, it's the coolest thing.
But you can just watch Goldfinger for that. Like, my barometer is Goldfinger. If anybody says, I'm like, yeah, Goldfinger did that and did it better. So that was the only reason why I love Skyfall was it was finally a Bond film that was better than Goldfinger.
I love Skyfall.
You know,
Skyfall was
amazing.
It was too long though.
As we've pointed out on many occasions, you can try and find a fault. The only Bond film I would fault was on yet. Actually, I think it's on today or it was on yesterday. Is Never Say Never Again.
Yeah,
that's not a real one.
Shit. It's a remake of one of the best Bond films.
We can get into this if you want.
No,
Kevin McCrory wrote that script fair and square, and he had every right to make that film. But
Sean Connery was way too old.
Okay. Exhibit A.
Okay,
the real James Bond. I'm doing quotes now. At that time, was Roger Moore, who's older than Sean Connery. Right. And Never Say Never Again was a huge success and whatever, you know, I Can't Let Go My Zimmer Frame or whatever the fuck the Roger Moore one was that came out at that point. Live and Let Die, no.
Live and Let Die was a great film.
Yeah, it was the other one.
Best
View to a Kill, was it?
I don't know, I'd say Best
View. A View to a Kill had Duran Duran do the theme song.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a View
to a Kill. That's not necessarily a good thing.
That is a great thing.
But whatever one came out flopped, and
Grace Jones.
You're mad, Grace Jones. Grace Jones.
Yeah. But whatever.
Was Chris Walken?
It wasn't that one. What was
Christopher Walken and Grace Jones?
What was the one that came out in competition to Never Say Never Again? It was the one before.
I get the feeling it's for Your Eyes Only.
Yeah,
Grease.
That one terrible. Awful.
Well, the only thing about that is it's quite pieced together. There's way too much shit going on at different times.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So,
I love them all.
I'll give a pass to Never Say Never Again because it's quite an interesting story. So, And cheer for Kevin McQuarrie because he's from your hometown.
So. Okay. We'll cheer for him then. I'll watch it. Yeah. I'll attempt to rewatch it and see how I get along with it. I don't even know. Is it even when you buy the box set?
No, it's not. Because it's not.
It's unofficial.
But if you apparently if you watch that that officially sanctioned documentary, Kevin McQuarrie is the villain of the whole piece.
Oh yeah.
That's what I've heard. The everything or is or nothing, whatever that documentary is called.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet, but I was listening to Mark Kermode do his review, and he was like, "Wow, they really have still not let that go. 50 years later, they're still sort of even after Cubby Broccoli has died, they're still like, just won't let it go."
My problem is, I love all the James Bond films. I will only admit that some of them are shit, but I still love them. It's like For Your Eyes Only, I will only admit it's shite. Like it's ridiculous how a small Citroen can roll down a hill on its roof at least 4 or 5 times and manage to drive off.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like it's not even that. Like, you kind of expect that stuff in a Bond film. It's just like, am I excited? Am I interested in what they're doing? You know, like even
I always was. Though,
like the thing, is, even like the last one with the stupid name. What was it called?
Quantum Solace.
Yeah, like
that wasn't. Yeah.
It had all the Bond tropes in it, but you could just tell that it was just trying to be a Bourne film. Trying to be a Bourne film, you know.
Well, I don't think after that. I think they did it with Skyfall because they really changed it up and made it quite a classic James Bond film. They brought some of the gadgets back, but they couldn't have bested Casino Royale.
Yeah.
As a film, I think Casino Royale is better than Skyfall, but as a James Bond film, I think I prefer Skyfall.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because Casino Royale, it's a James Bond film, but it got rid of all the gadgets and they tried to make it like a Bourne film and they did really well and they made a brilliant film. So as a film, I think it's better.
Like,
as the genre if you want a formula for a James Bond film, Casino Royale won't really fall into it, but Skyfall will.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they clearly, like, shit their pants when Jason Bourne became the sort of...
Because everyone went, holy shit, you can do all that stuff without using gadgets.
Everyone went, wow, there's a really interesting character, and James Bond has an invisible car, and his villain...
His villain has diamonds in his face.
And then
Diamond came back as a British guy.
Yeah, like, has a guy...
Was Korean and now isn't.
How has a guy pretending to be James Bond and has...
Toby, whatever his name
is. Has a Madonna making jokes about, you know, stupid...
That was, like, Madonna was... Madonna. Why was she there?
So...
Great, it's a step up from... Because
they clearly did have it. And because at that point, even Mission Impossible had kind of done something, like, really interesting with Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 3 was good.
And so they clearly were like, let's do... But I'm still a little pissed off we never got Quentin Tarantino's Casino Royale. So.
Oh, yeah.
You love Tarantino,
though. I did. I love Django.
Yeah,
I loved it, but I didn't like... I hate Death Proof. I think it's one of the worst films ever made. Just
I still have... They're both dead. Death Proof and Planet Terror on Netflix, and I still haven't watched
it. Yeah. It's just terrible.
Is that the Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
That was like the...
And then Planet Terror is the one with the girl with the machine gun. Like.
Yeah, which I heard that one's good, but I haven't watched
Robert Rodriguez's
one. But like... Yeah,
I can't imagine... I don't know. Have you seen his thing on Graham Norton of his take on Macbeth?
No.
Yeah,
that wasn't real though.
No, it wasn't real.
it was James McAvoy
playing Macbeth in London, and so they got him to read out one scene from the play, and then get Alan Davies was on as well to get him to read the next line, and then they said, okay, so if Quentin Tarantino would do it, and then they took, I think it's the music from the start of Pulp Fiction. Over it with black and white screening, they give James McAvoy a sword, and he goes through all his big, huge speech. It's completely the same, and it just turns to Alan Davies and says, "What the fuck do you mean, you fucking fucker?" And that's it. And it's just like, so that would be his take.
Yeah, I don't know.
So his take on James Bond would probably be...
Well, he had a good like pitch.
He had a really good
pitch,
and he still maintains the only reason they made Casino Royale was because he was trying to get the rights to it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they never had. That's why they never did it. Because they never had the Broccoli's never had the rights to Casino Royale. So he started saying, "Oh,
what was the first one with
Woody Allen as Jimmy Bond?"
Yeah,
but that wasn't them though.
His cousin.
That was it. Yeah, that was the official.
David
as well.
James Bond
and Peter Sellers. But so he kept saying, "Oh, I'm gonna do Casino Royale, and I'm gonna do it in a really, and I'm gonna and
he's got a Quentin Tarantino with
him. He's gonna do like a really cool action film, and he was like, I want to do it with Pierce Brosnan, That's what he, that was his thing. Was like,
and he was going to set it in the 60s as well. Yeah, and he was the voiceover. And, yeah.
The perfect one, the kind of the one who is closest to the Bond guidelines was Brosnan, apparently.
Yeah.
That if you read the books, the one who's closest to
one. But he was going to set it in the 60s, and he was going to do all that, and then they like swooped in and acquired the rights to it, and he couldn't do it. But I'm still curious to see what it would have been like. It was going to be set in the 60s. He was really pissed off that they changed. They changed baccarat to poker, and that really annoyed him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I read an interview with that.
I still love that the scene, the like the whole card game scene, the whole it's Texas Hold'em they're playing.
Which is a version of poker.
Yeah, that I just love that scene, especially when it comes back. He's just like, that last hand nearly killed me. They didn't get rid of that's what I love. They changed it, but they didn't get rid of his one-liners.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the thing is, like, it's different, but it still feels like Bond. Like, it's like the thing of, like, you know,
it's definitely grittier.
Like, why do we still love the new Star Trek, though? It still, like, feels like Star Trek, you know, no matter what
do. That's the thing, because they went back to the roots, and they gave to the yellow and blue and red uniforms, and...
But, like, what I was thinking about is, like, why was Nemesis so bad? Like, why is Star Trek Nemesis just so awful?
That's Tom Hardy.
Yeah, and it's awful. And it's like...
He's bald.
And it's... Well, he's a clone of Picard. It's like, why is it so bad? It's like, because it doesn't feel like Star Trek. It just doesn't... They just got it wrong. And, even though it's...
Well, I love the fact that Casino Royale, they're standing off, they're like, we won't do a car chase, we'll do the running chase. I thought that was... I love that. The
It's in Barbados or Parkwell or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They're at the snake fight and all, and then they do the running chase. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
I love them. I even like Quantum of Solace. I do. I have it at home, and I will occasionally.
Do you have all the movies?
No, I don't. I'm working now, so it's most likely going to save up and buy the attaché briefcase.
With them all?
Yeah. That would be so... I'm so sad that is something I would do. Wait until Daniel Craig does his last few.
Who do you think will be the next Bond?
I don't know.
I would have helped for Idris Elba, but he'll probably be too old by the time Craig finishes. Because he's 42 now, he'll probably be closer to 50 by the time Craig finishes.
Just talk about Fassbender.
I'd go for Fassbender,
amazing.
Yeah.
I would love it to be Fassbender.
Yeah.
Just because it's an Irishman playing James Bond.
Yeah. Yes. I just...
But
again,
you've already had one.
Yeah.
We've had Brosnan, haven't
you? I don't know. I mean,
two Irishmen and a Scot. Come on.
So, and an Australian.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, George.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Yeah.
Who was it? Someone, I think it was Stephen.
He was famous for like a chocolate ad or something.
And he got the role.
Stephen Soderbergh did like a big speech or blog or something about like the merits of that film.
Yeah.
About how
because
it's the worst Bond actor, but it's probably
really
one of the best
though.
Bond
because,
films.
Like, that's
really
the one
good.
Where it addresses him as like a real person because his wife dies at the end.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of the, like, if they didn't do that before, they went, okay, he's married, he's happy. Oh shit, she's dead.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, it was an interesting...
It's like a real anomaly.
Because that was
in
like
the kind
last
of
scene
canon,
of him crying, or the crying on the beach or something
like
that. Yeah, yeah. Just like, okay. Because he did it, and he was really... Apparently he did one take, and he was crying his eyes out, and the director had to say to him, okay, that's really good, but this is a James Bond film. So you can't do that because he wouldn't show his emotion in that way.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to reel it in a bit.
Yeah,
you can't be as upset. Like, I felt like in all of it, like, what is it? Some person pulls up beside him and he says, oh, yeah, she's just tired. It's okay, she's just tired. Apparently in one of the other cuts they have that he's bawling his eyes out in the car. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. He must be really pissed off at the director because he's like, I'm crying so much! Let me do it!
I don't know. I mean, whatever.
It was okay. And it was a good film, you know?
Yeah,
that whole bobsleigh chase at the end of it.
So are you hoping for Idris Elba?
I'd be hoping for Fassbender.
Well,
yeah.
I think.
Oh my god!
Because again, it'll be in a couple
of
years. It'll be 6 years.
We've already seen him do it for the Jacksons and Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Although he has had problems with accents before, like X-Men, where he has 17 of them.
But you know what? That's not him though. That was Matthew Vaughn.
Fair enough.
He said. Oh, when he got the role, he spent like months and months and months sort of like perfecting Ian McKellen's speech pattern. You know, he has a kind of a weird sort of mid-Atlantic kind of half American, half British accent in there.
Yeah.
And he started doing that. And then Matthew Vaughn was like, what are you doing that for? Just use your own voice. So that's why it changes sort of
halfway through.
I still think you can't.
The end of the film where he just becomes Irish.
Really, obviously.
You can't beat ropey accents. The best ropey accents is in Robin Hood in the latest Robin Hood.
Russell Crowe's ropey act.
Outstanding performance of a man to play at least 10 different Robin Hoods in the one film.
Or to go back even further.
Like, he plays an Irish Robin Hood at one point, and so I'm just like, what the fuck?
To go back further, the best accents ever, or the best worst accents ever, are the Far and Away Tom Cruise.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's kind of the, that's the ultimate bad accent.
Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 3 is, and Leah Thompson is pretty high on the list for me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Fassbender would be brilliant.
I could only see him.
That's what I'm saying to you, and because me and Darren saw The Counselor. The best thing about The Counselor is Fassbender's acting.
Yeah.
It's a shite film. Yeah. Well, it's not. It's badly written.
Is it badly written?
Yeah, I know, which is shocking. Because
the only reason I wanted to see it was because of Cormac McCarthy.
It's just really confusing.
Because No Country for Old Men was an adaptation of his book.
I don't think he wrote the screenplay. Yeah,
he didn't write the screenplay, but I'll tell you,
he wrote the screenplay for this himself, and it's just.
But the Coens did not do anything to the book. Like, they wrote the book in screenplay format. It is exactly the same.
I know, but the thing is,
though,
the problem is, it's obvious that he doesn't really know the tricks of the trade because
he's written screenplays before, though.
He's also, it turns out, he's 80 now, so might just be old. I would, because No Country for Old Men is an older book.
And you feel as though you've been dropped in that's
not Cormac McCarthy. That's Ridley Scott. If the film isn't gelling properly, it's nothing to do with this. It's the director. It's how it was put together.
Because
I don't know, because there was no line of dialogue that was.
That makes sense.
Like, it was like a film of all metaphors.
It's
and,
yeah, that's what Cormac McCarthy does, of course. If you read any of his novels,
I'd say a lot of it was the editing as well and the direction.
Because it is quite like some of the scenes that should be 5 minutes long are 10 minutes long, and some of the scenes that should be like.
Again, that's a Ridley Scott thing.
They're either too long or they're too short.
That's Ridley Scott. That's not absolutely.
Brad Pitt's I don't necessarily
see Brad Pitt's character because none of the characters were really developed at all. But Brad Pitt's character was a middleman, so he didn't need anything. So he could just come in, be cool, and then leave.
You know.
Yeah.
But Fassbender's acting in it is very.
Yeah, he does.
His final scene in it is really good.
Yeah.
And like that is.
Hank is in it for one scene and he's good. There's no reason he should be in the film at all.
Breaking Bad is in it.
He just turns up for
it. He just shows up.
Is he?
Yeah. I was watching. I don't know what. Now, I really don't. I was watching the Starship Troopers film last night because it's on.
And he's in it.
He's in
loads of stuff.
Patrick Harris.
Yeah. You didn't know Neil Patrick Harris was in it? He's one of the main people.
No, because it was the last time I watched it, I wouldn't really have known Neil Patrick Harris. Before Dr. Harrell and How I Met Your Mother.
You know what? You should go back and watch the original Total Recall.
Hank is in that.
And Hank is the guy whose brains are sort of outside his head.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Jesus, I haven't seen that guy. I still haven't seen the new one.
I haven't seen the new one either. I was like,
Branson's in it though, he's the baddie.
Yeah.
Branson's in it, yeah. I just heard so many, like, not that the original is a masterpiece by any stretch of the
imagination. His nervousness is amazing. Like, when you just hear him talk, when he sits down and just talks to people.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Like, he's sort of like, he seems like such a really nice guy, and he's absolutely hilarious as well.
Yeah.
Especially if you watch the bloopers from Breaking Bad as well.
Yeah, yeah. Nelson, sweaty boy.
There's a lot. There's so many scenes of him either naked or just in his tidy whiteys.
Yeah.
I know. You seen? There's a really good conversation with an interview with Vince Gilligan where they were asking him about the tidy whiteys, and he's like, well, I was kind of worried about the tidy whiteys, so I did say to Brian, like, do you want to wear boxer shorts? And he's like, well, you know, is it tidy whiteys or is it boxer shorts? And he's like, well, you know, would you be more comfortable in boxer shorts? And he's like, of course I would be more comfortable in boxer shorts. But the character's wearing tidy whiteys.
Yeah.
So that was the end
That's
of it.
That's what makes it, though. Yeah. Tidy whiteys make it.
Like, it's just...
I love that. I think there's the meme on the internet of what is it, goes through 3 years of chemo and doesn't lose his eyebrows or facial hair.
Well,
someone's finally found a flaw with that program. And it is the most minute, completely fucking pointless flaw.
It wasn't 3 years, it was two.
You'd still lose the hair.
And B, he wasn't on chemo for all that time, right? Because his chemo goes into remission. Cancer goes into remission in, what, season two? Yeah. Or three? So.
It's the end of two.
It's the end of two.
Yeah,
when he starts going home. Well, kind of three when he starts going
home. When did he lose you? Because this is a big question. Is like, when did you stop rooting for
him?
You
never lost me. I'm still on the side.
I never
lost as a person.
Yeah, he
lost me with
the one final shot of the flower in his backyard.
That's so, pretty late. That's
so,
series
so
four.
The end of season. The end of
when
season.
When he poisons the little boy.
That was when he lost you. So every all the horrible things he did before.
I think
that.
There was the when he let the girl die.
Yeah,
that, Jane that, died.
When Jane died.
Yeah,
Jane
I don't know if I that, was,
that was
a big drop.
That was
there
a big drop.
Yeah,
he didn't lose.
But it, that lost me, I think, and even
at,
when
at the same
I,
time, I was like, she's blackmailing him.
When
like,
I when I went
that's
back,
that's not obviously a reason. That's not a reason to kill someone.
When I
still.
When I went back and watched it again because I watched it all again in the lead up to the final episode.
Yeah.
I was watching it again and I was like, you know what? Right from the beginning, he just sort of, there was something about him. Because
he's just kind of a loser in the first episode.
Well, not the fact
he's,
that,
like,
the fact that he was so, like, high and mighty with his pride about letting his friends pay for his chemo.
Yeah.
And then he was perfectly willing to just, like, become a crook so easily. And they're like, but he becomes a killer. I was like, yeah, he killed someone in the first episode, like he kills that guy that's chained up in the basement in like the first or second episode.
Melting in the pot.
Yeah. And I know that was kind of like he was pushed into it, like it wasn't premeditated.
But he still killed him.
I'm gonna have to watch it again. But genuinely, the show, not just losing him as a person, the show itself didn't hook me until series 3.
Yeah, season 2.
I struggled to watch
when I finally
I forced you pretty much.
You basically did. Yeah.
When it got to the like, because I started watching it, and by this point it was in sort of season 3.
I watched series 1 ages ago. When I properly started watching it was when I got back from Canada this year.
We watched the first half of the last half, and then I went home and I just watched them all, and then I got up to date with the second last episode where
they spoiler alert again where they kill Hank.
Yeah,
that was it, and I literally remember just almost crying.
All my friends were watching it, and it was probably it might have even been in season 4. So the sort of battle of wits between Walt and Gus Fring was going on. That's where they like the actual show was, and it was so good. And then I started watching it, and I was like, but my friends were like, oh my god! Like one friend of mine was like, they had to invent television. Because for somebody to make a show like this of someone, I was like, really? He's like, oh my god. And then I was like, and then I watched the first season and I was like, you know what? It's okay. Whatever. Because, like, remember the first season just ends.
Because they got two episodes dropped because of the writer's strike.
It was seven and it was supposed to be nine. And then
I just kind of ends.
It just kind
of them in a
with
the
hard
part.
And I was like, didn't really hook me, and then I started watching, and I left it for a while, and I think I watched something else.
I left it for about a year.
I think I watched Dexter then, or something else, and then I was like,
You didn't finish Dexter, did you?
I haven't seen the last final season now.
I'm not gonna say anything.
Because you
dropped off about series 5.
I watched the first 3 episodes of series 5, and I thought this has gone from being amazing with the Trinity Killer to being steaming heap of bullshit.
And
I loved season 5. So
I thought series 5 was okay, but series 8 it just ends.
I hear the ending.
So but anyway, I started watching.
I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. That's a spoiler, actually. Sorry.
It's okay, whatever. So I went back and I started watching series 2, and I sort of plowed my way through series 2, and I was like, and because it took them a while, like because they changed the ending because they were gonna kill Jesse
at
the end, and then so they kind of had to write themselves out of that little hole. Yeah. But I think the moment that got me was the bit when he concocts that plan that he sort of has a blackout and he just goes to a supermarket.
But
when they did that, and I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But then when they did the bit where
all the new Cranston is what. Right,
yeah. So much new Cranston.
Really, the defining moments of all 5 years.
That amount of Cranston. So much Cranston.
So tastefully done.
But when they did that scene where they bring in the psychiatrist.
And he tells him about the drugs.
He doesn't tell him about the drugs. He just says, like, he concocts another
reason why he did it. And I was like, okay, now I kind of understand where this character's going.
See, that was it. It was like,
yeah,
and that series was kind one of like and two, I struggled to get to it, and then series three, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
but at the end,
like, is at the end of series two when Jesse's in, or is it three when he runs out of the drug dealer? It's just like, wrong.
I think it's two, isn't it?
Two is the ending is Jane dying, and then the dad's
and then the plane crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when he gets in, when Jesse gets involved with all the drug dealers, then in series three, when Cranston just runs in and plows the two of them down, holy shit!
Yeah.
But this is proper. This is major stuff.
When at the end of season two, when he's sort of when Skyler's left him and taken the kids, and he's sitting in the back garden. And the sort of hellfire from the plane is raining down on top of him.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, now I kind of, this is amazing. I get what they're doing. You know,
I loved it.
It's like that whole season.
And
where you
from Star Trek as well, so you know.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, when you get the.
I remember seeing that, and just being like, oh, it's the guy from the Next Generation.
Yeah,
shit.
But when you get to the point where like they've done all the flash forwards about the plane crash that season, and you keep seeing like just shots of bodies in his driveway and stuff. Teddy bear in the pool and that eyeball constantly looking at him and stuff.
Like, I still look back at the speech to the school and you're just like...
Yeah, he goes...
Like, that is one of the most awkward moments in television. You're just what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah, he goes
like,
crazy.
Like, you just want him to stop talking.
Yeah,
it's like, shut up.
Yeah. But then, once that happened, I was like, okay. That kind of hooked me. And then series three, I was like... And they did that whole story with the two twins coming up from Mexico.
That scene, that Hank scene is so intense.
When they do that, it's just like, it was brilliant. And then when he realizes that it's Gus, when Walt realizes that it was Gus that found Hank and said, it was just like,
I love Gus.
He couldn't have stayed though. Like
he had to go.
No, he had to. Like he ran his course. If they had kept him any longer, it would have gone downhill. I think it was a great ending as well.
It was really nice.
Because you knew he was gonna go. But
he walks out. What is it? Titans the Tide. And the camera goes around him and half his face.
It was just like it was
like Two Face from the Dark Knight.
But it was just like, it was,
I didn't expect that, like, that bit, I was like...
Because you kind of knew he was going to die. Because
you
figured it's either going to water or jet.
With the side of their face blown off him.
Yeah, you never expect that sort of...
It was really well done, the way he finally figured out a way to get Gus Fring, though. There was...
The fact that he's always going to Hector asking, his today-to-day.
You know what I mean?
One weakness.
It was just like...
I also love that they called the episode Face Off. You just don't bury the lead at all.
But I love that. Like, I love that moment where he sort of, there's one, I can't remember what episode it is, but he sort of figures out where Gus Fring lives and he goes to the house to confront him. And there's this real sort of hero. It's shot really sort of westerny hero. It's got these high angles. He gets out of the car, puts on the glasses and the hat, and he's like striding up to his house, and then the phone rings and it's just him going, "Walt, go home." And that's it.
Have they ever explained? I know Felina, it's an anagram of finale, but isn't there?
It's like an old poem, I think.
But isn't it? There's also the name of F E L I N N A.
Oh.
To be something about, because L I is lithium, N A is magnesium. I'm not sure what F E is.
You could probably look it up. The internet knows everything.
Yeah, the internet knows everything.
There's some sort of significance to the whole Felina. Oh,
are you serious?
I think so.
No, that's funny.
Yeah. And it's like, there is one of the theories is that it's because. The whole chemistry do F-E-L-I-N-N-A is a chemical mixture for something. I don't know what it is. I hope it's not crystal meth, because then they've just gone.
Well, apparently, when they did the first episode, the guy from the DEA that came to visit the set was like, "It's the most realistic looking meth lab I've ever seen." So
in the back of
the
van.
In the back, the one they. Anytime
Cranston gets asked, "Can you make meth in interviews?" he has to just be like,
I watched a lot of stuff in the run up the last episode. There was like an interview on an American show where I don't know.
Oh, is this the George Lopez thing or something
where they pretend to make meth? They pretend to be in the kitchen, they make meth, and it's Aaron Paul and
Brian.
It's just so awkward.
Well, that's...
Really? It's just them, like, fucking about with, like, liquid nitrogen for a bit.
He's terrible.
Apparently there's a Mythbusters episode where they do a meth lab, and the two of them...
I have heard of that,
I haven't seen it, but apparently there's one where they sort of, like...
play around with what they're doing and stuff.
Yeah. I heard they did the.
There's like a myth.
The body trick was like from the first series. They didn't use an actual body, but the.
With the body.
Yeah,
melted,
that,
it,
that was bullshit.
Was
that's
it?
Not.
Was
yeah.
it?
According
they
to MythBusters.
That again.
Yeah, so apparently they got their
science
slightly wrong with that.
Put a photo up on Twitter of Vince Gilligan on the top of the train from
that episode.
Yeah, it's him on top of the train.
Such a brilliant episode. Like that episode, you could just watch it again. It could have been if they were going to do a movie, that would have been
bad for the last series. His spoilers at the end of every one.
Anything away,
but you were still going. Holy shit,
yeah,
what the hell?
Yeah, what the
I was actually thinking about that the other day. The other way, what was Hank's partner's name?
Marie.
No, the
damn it,
police,
Marie!
The police guy.
Lopez? No, not Lopez.
Gomez. It must be really awkward because he did the talking bad the week in between the shootout and him dying.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
must have been a really awkward interview. Where it's like, I'm dead next week, and I know, but no one else is allowed to know.
You haven't seen the Walking Dead. Spoiler alert. You haven't seen The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm up to date.
Are you up to date with The Walking Dead?
So, I haven't started, so it's okay. I don't mind. I'll forget
well,
it anyway.
Okay, so
was it David Morrissey doing Walking Dead?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, and Chris Hardwick, they saw that episode, that finale, where... Beep happens to the governor.
It's David Morrissey.
Yeah.
I know.
But you don't have the character premise though.
Chris Hardwick was like, "What? David Morrissey is just an amazing actor because he sat here last week, looked me straight in the face, and said, oh, the governor will be around for Abe. You never know what's going to happen to him. He'll be doing this and he'll be doing that." So,
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that spoilers, he dies.
He did die.
I also read that on Twitter.
In fact, he died a lot.
Okay.
He died so many times.
He really did.
Yeah.
He's very
well, my friend...
Are you up to date as well? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My friend, when I got back, was like, what the fuck's going on with all the American magazines spoiling everything that happens?
No.
Like, you know, like Hollywood Reporter and Variety will put in the...
Yeah.
Like... In other places, the other magazines will say spoilers from this point on or whatever.
Yeah.
This Hollywood Reporter will just put the governor's dead in the headline of the article.
I remember what was it? The problem is I follow the Walking Dead, the AMC Walking Dead Twitter page.
Oh yeah.
The problem is the episodes are on the Sunday evening in the States, but they're on a Friday night here. But like after Christmas, they're gonna be on Monday nights now, so they're only
It's not coming back. It's not coming back till February.
Yeah, it's the second. Well, they did that last year with season 3.
Yeah.
But,
The
problem is, AMC, they always retweet these things.
Yeah.
And then one guy tweeted, and it was ridiculous. Somebody said, in 1 week, we've lost the governor and Mandela. I was like, you can't put those two people in the one category. And two, I didn't know he was dead yet.
Well, don't follow the Twitter page.
I know, I'd stay away from it for at least a day or
two
afterwards.
When Breaking Bad was... in its last series, I just stay away from Twitter because there was a bit
there's
of a gap
so
between
much,
yeah. So I just give up social media.
I changed my Facebook profile to the goodbye thing, GOOD, and GOOD.
Yeah.
I found the app where you can get your own name in the Breaking Bad letters, and I had that as my
that's cool.
Photo for his,
Which
is good.
It's kind of like a really cheap Simpsonize me
now. You've been watching Walking Dead all through the years. What do you think of Scott Gamble now as the showrunner? What do you think he's done that Glenn Mazzara didn't do? You know what I think? The first time I'm watching the new episodes, I think, you know what Scott Gamble has added to The Walking Dead? Musical montages. Have you noticed that? There's so many, like, montages where some song will play for ages and you'll get this massive time lapse.
It's actually kind of like Scrubs in the way. Scrubs always had great music choices.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead has some great ones as well. Like the bit at the end in Series 2, the end of Series 2 when they go looking for Herschel in the bar.
Mm.
And, spoiler alert, okay, they shoot the two guys who want to come with them to the camp.
Yeah.
And then there's a brilliant, like, the guy, whoever's picking the scores for that show, there's a brilliant song. It's by an American band, and it's the one I
show. Oh, yeah.
And it's like some of the music for it are so, like, they suit it perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know. I just noticed that there was a lot more sort of people wallowing around while music played in it now. I don't know. It's very strange.
An old friend of mine loved the show for the first two series, and then he hated series three, and he was really worried about series four. I actually like series three.
Yeah.
I love the governor.
Yeah, I love
and
series
I like three. Michonne as well. I like her.
Yeah, Michonne's amazing.
Especially the first time you see her, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. That's Andrea, really good.
She kind of annoyed me after a while.
Yeah, she annoyed me a lot.
But I like that they brought back Merle as well.
Yeah, Merle got his comeuppance as well. Yeah.
Everyone,
never get attached to a character on The
it's
Walking
like
Dead.
It's like Game of Thrones. You just don't get
just unbelievable.
But yeah, Walking Dead is worse because they'll deal with it in like 3 years. Game of Thrones will give you a series. Walking Dead will give you like 4 episodes.
I haven't even watched Game of Thrones. I couldn't do it.
I had a discussion with Alan Burnham, who did the Weekly Shows, that he prefers Game of Thrones to Breaking Bad, and I was just like,
oh yeah, that's no.
Really.
Yeah, I was just like,
my argument was
Breaking Bad is so much better.
Yeah.
It really is.
Game
of Thrones is good, but there have been so many things like it before. Breaking Bad changed television.
Breaking Bad was the only one that where you actually saw character change. It's like completely over.
TV is going to be different after Breaking Bad because they did so much stuff in that program that people probably weren't brave enough to do before. And did scale game just went, fuck it, no one's done it, will do.
Yeah.
Whereas Game of Thrones, you see, like, it's like an extended Braveheart. It's basically like with all the, you know, cutting heads off and stuff like that, with a bit of fantasy kind of like Highlander and all thrown in, and then with some just mystical ice demons and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's all been done before. Whereas Breaking Bad,
it's just done really well. Whereas Breaking Bad is really original.
Breaking Bad is just so original.
There's just something
struggled through it. I think as well.
I get the feeling I was talking about this with, you know, my same friend, because when we were editing, it was so funny. We kind of became friends because when we were editing our last film
called
Clara.
There you go.
Short film Clara.
Check it out
on the festival circuit in 2014. we were editing the last film and. He lives in the apartment below me, so I just go down to his apartment to do the editing. And
so when I was jumping up and down in the bedrooms there, you'd probably hear me.
Yeah, totally. And so what sort of bonded us was Breaking Bad was ending while we were doing it.
Yeah.
So we sort of I'd always go down on Monday. Breaking Bad was on Sunday nights, and I'd go down and we'd like talk about the movie for maybe an hour and a half, and then we'd be like, "So, what did you think of last night's episode?" then we talk about Breaking Bad for hours. And
that's
then
the thing with Game of Thrones, it's just like that guy died and stuff happened and torture scenes and mystical monsters. But then with Breaking Bad, you go, oh yeah, you're like, it's so weird to see him change as a character. I was like, oh, okay, it's so much more, interesting.
So much,
it just
really is. But I, like, I and
Game of Thrones
so,
is just like a big
so many people
stuff.
Were with
yeah.
Walt,
yeah.
though. I couldn't, and that never. That never
I did. I never got the anti Skyler thing.
No,
I
didn't
get the like the amount of hate towards her.
It was bullshit. It was such bullshit.
I actually, when it ran up to the last episode, I was hoping Jesse was gonna die.
Oh yeah.
Because I was like, so much shit has gone on with. Do I want him to die and kind of just get an ending, or do I want him to have to live with all this shit in his head, like two of his girlfriends dying, being betrayed by someone he trusted, getting kidnapped by these neo-Nazis and being tortured and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of like, do you know what the best thing for him would be if he died? Because...
No, I
was happy that he got away. I was like, okay.
I
can't fault the ending.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I think that there was so many
it
things
didn't
that
do
they,
a Lost or a Sopranos.
Yeah.
Or a Dexter.
They weren't
the,
all dead. Or
the
they
best,
they didn't just
the best tweet I saw after it ended was just somebody who said, that's how you do a final episode. Take that, Lost.
Yeah.
Lost. I always say this, Lost is annoying because I caught up in series three and then I watched 4, 5, and 6 and I literally was sitting there. I was sitting there on my own just giving the screen the finger because I'm like, fucking Damon Lindelof, come on, man. You couldn't have written a better end. Like, they should have just ended it in series three. I would have left a lot of loose ends, but it would have been a fucking better ending than they're just all dead.
Like, was that all it was? I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
The ending is...
I've heard that it's...
Fox goes to... He's being led around by the ghost of his dad, and he goes to a church, and the door's open, and everyone who's there from every single series is just there. All the people who have died anyway, they're all just... The people who died on the island are there. These church doors open, there's a big bright light, and he walks out, and what happens? It starts off again. He's in the jungle again. Matthew Fox just kind of wakes up. And it's like, oh.
Oh, that sounds stupid, yeah.
It was
How did they do such a shitty ending?
And they didn't explain it. Like, because, to be honest, they wrote themselves into such a hole that the only way they could explain it was that they're dead.
Oh, okay.
Locke, it turns out Locke was paralyzed.
Well, Locke was paralyzed in the beginning.
Yeah, well, he's not. We get to the island and he's walking around.
Yeah, I know.
And the only way to kind of explain that, oh, he can walk again, oh, they're dead. Okay. Not Penny's boat and all that shit. Like, I was actually kind of happy for, like, Dominic Monaghan and all. That he got out.
He got out at the perfect time. Did he come back? Did he come back for the scene in the church?
I can't remember that.
Oh my god, that's so
because
funny.
I remember him once, around series two,
doing an interview, and I think it was John LaRosse or something. John LaRosse was like, you know, Lost is great. I love you in the show, but it gets a bit confusing at times. And then Dominic was like, see, the writers only have 3 seasons planned out, and they have to do 7. So. Like,
see,
they sometimes just speck things up, I don't know.
Like, there was only
going to be four
series.
Yeah.
And then it was doing so well, they were like, nah, you're not just going to do 4, you're going to do 6. And that fucked them up entirely, because then they brought all the, not Penny's boat, which was a great ending. The last thing Dominic Monaghan does is why it's not Penny's boat in his hand, and just shoves it up. And that was a great ending. And then they just completely made fucking balls.
Yeah. Were they planning that all along, though? Like, from the very beginning, was it just going to be that they're all dead? Like, so they can just do whatever they want.
See, that's what I'm thinking. Like, polar bears on the island, the big black smoky thing, and bloodthirsty people who live on the island. Then it turns out it's all scientific experiment. And then it turns out you can time travel.
See, here's my question, though. How did they do such a shitty ending with Lost, but then essentially do the same ending in Ashes to Ashes? And Ashes to Ashes was fucking amazing. Like...
I still love that. I love the Life on Mars.
Life on Mars is brilliant.
Life on Mars, Breaking Bad. Like there are a lot of shows make balls of endings, but then you get some that just get.
But Ashes to Ashes sort of like. It's brilliant. Like it sort of explains the ending to Life on Mars, which you kind of think, oh, that's shitty, but it does it in such a brilliant way that you're like, and the sort of banter between Keely Shaw and what's his face. Philip Glenister is better than Philip Glenister and John Sim. Like they're so opposing.
Is
such opposing
like,
characters.
Everything about like some of this, like I think one of my favorite things about Life on Mars is just how they're in a nightclub and he runs into the guy from T-Rex and he just tells him don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
That's
Like, but it was just such a brilliant like it was such a brilliant show and our friends watched the American one.
Oh.
Holy mackerel! It sounds shit.
Yeah,
they're actually going to Mars.
But they're in stasis.
Meany
was Gene Hunt for the pilot, and then they got rid of him and they made it Harvey Keitel.
They cast Colin Meany.
Colin Meany and get Harvey Keitel.
They have Colin
Meany. I like
Harvey
Keitel, but still.
Colin Meany might have just figured out that it wasn't going to be.
No, I think they sacked him. I think they did the pilot.
Either way,
and then
it
was a year later before the show went. Well, now he's on Hell on Wheels, so I'm sure he's very happy.
I don't watch Hell on Wheels.
Really good. Yeah. I haven't watched the whole lot of it, but like, it's really good.
Yeah, it seemed good. I only watched it because they showed it on RT and then kind of drifted off.
Yeah,
I don't think they
Yeah, AMC moved it to Saturday nights, which is always a bad,
like RT,
bad.
I don't think bought the rights for that.
Bad sign in the US, but it's a good show. It is. So.
We might wrap it up there.
Yeah,
so we're gonna wrap it up now.
Yeah, a smooth wrap up.
Okay.
This is a long.
Yeah,
this is our longest episode.
That
felt
long
a lot shorter.
Yeah, no.
Which is good.
Which is always good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll have to get Greg on more often. Oh no! Wait, you're going back to Canada. Like,
are you doing another one?
We'll be doing one next week, I'm sure.
Probably. Yeah.
Could you Skype in?
We could Skype.
Yeah, we could if you want.
Well, we couldn't do it here. There's no internet here. But
yeah, we could do it somewhere.
Next door.
We could Skype you in and then do it in the magic carpet.
There's never anyone in there anyway.
Have
so
a few pints while you do it. This was lovely, lads. Thanks for coming on. Enjoying me.
Don't forget, you have to selfishly promote us.
I will selfishly promote you. Yeah. You have to selfishly promote me.
Okay.
Website, gregorybreen.com.
There you go. You just, anything you want to say.
Vimeo, Facebook.
Twitter, there you go. Obviously.
I'm on Twitter.
Look him up.
Gregory Breen.
And your director, Rob.
Rob Freeman is my producer, editor,
no
and check out his website for Canterbury Productions, and yeah.
There you go.
That's exactly. It. Okay.
So that's that.
So do we have to like plug you guys? Should we plug the?
There's nothing to plug.
Yeah. You're both in this panto, aren't you?
Oh, the Aladdin panto.
Pavilion panto. Yeah.
Pavilion panto. When is it?
21st of January.
The 21st of January to the 25th.
No, it's the 26th.
Is it?
Yeah. The 25th they're bad year. Flyers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, actually, that's
oh,
it.
No, oh,
see, it says matinees
on. Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. So who are you? Yeah. Who are you in it?
Me and Dara are actually double acts.
Yeah. Oh, are you?
Jammy and Dodger.
Jammy and Dodger. We're policemen.
Do you know what? Would you believe Hob and Nob was rejected?
Hob and Nob?
Hob and Nob was rejected.
So it's too
it was
too
whole. It was a whole biscuit theme going on.
Yeah.
Would you believe there's a whole biscuit theme?
Chocolate digestive.
Tea and biscuit theme running through the whole mountain.
Chocolate digestive, what else?
But there's
Kimberly McCarty.
Yep.
You're joking.
Is the Sultan Mr. T.
Oh, and God. He is, yeah.
Barney T.
Is it Mr. T, the letter, or T-E-A?
It's a bit of both, really. It's
the character is Mr. T, the letter, and then I think it's spelled Mr. T-E-A. Oh,
and then okay. His son is Barney T. His wife is Punjana T.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Sultana Punjana T.
Lipton tea? No.
There was a brilliant thing a few weeks ago where Paul, Dara's dad, the director, just realised, holy shit, I don't know that he's behind you joking.
Yeah.
After like rehearsing it for like 4 weeks.
Are you serious?
Like, yeah, we've got one in the nail.
In the panto.
I think we got
it. We have one there.
Yes. Finally, after all these years.
So you are all in that at the Pavilion in Dunleary on January 21st to the 26th.
Yeah.
Go. Be there or be square. Yeah.
It'll be grand.
Yeah, we've got the Barbie joke in there, so it'll be alright.
We've got a Barbie joke in there?
Yeah, the Barbie joke's actually here.
You can have a read if you want.
You can have a read.
Okay.
Very well written Barbie joke. So yeah, I think that's it.
We'll shame us.
Okay.
Hope you all had a very lovely Christmas, because it's probably up on Stephen's Day.
Yeah. It's up on Stephen's Day. We didn't do the time travel thing. We didn't do two different versions.
Oh yeah, well, we could record a whole...
We wanted to do another one. Well, you could record another one with me and then just put it up on, say, the 22nd of January, and I'd be like, wow, that pantomime was amazing, lads. So can't believe you got Britney Spears to shave a donkey.
But then again, the problem is it could go up on the 22nd of January. Jesus, lads, I saw the panto last night. Not your best work,
no.
It was
horrendous. It probably wasn't great that, like, you know, it was only five people.
I mean, to be honest, using real animals was a real, you know, it was a bad thing.
It made me really appreciate how good that Godzilla film was.
Expecting a real genie to just appear and, like, save you was...
To be honest, like, we really had written that into the script. It was kind of just, we were really living on a prayer. Genie.
I know Owen has a side career where his name is Genie, but
that's
different.
That's a different one. That's his drag career.
Yeah. That's his drag career, really?
Yeah,
GG. That's probably going to be a thing soon.
George
now.
On a Friday night.
Right. Yeah, that should probably be it.
Let's cut it off there.
Thanks, lads, for getting me out to do this.
Thanks for coming.
Talked a lot. Did I talk too much? I talked
a lot.
No, that's good. You're the guest.
You don't really talk a lot.
Me and Dara,
Most episodes are just like silent.
Yeah, silent.
Sitting there.
Oh, okay.
Dead air.
Paul Simons were playing the background, who knows?
So everybody would be like, wow, they're actually talking on this
one. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Like, wow, they're actually talking. Might be like last week, where it was just all kind of talking, but really vulgar.
Last week was all giggles as well.
So
you got very giggly, and I got very giggly as well. Anyway.
Okay, well, anytime.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
Bye, podcast people.